The Mishkan was an extraordinarily beautiful and magnificent building built from phenomenally delicate and rare materials. Ever wonder, how did the Jews in the desert learn the complex skills to make the Mishkan? The Mishkan was not exactly a log cabin. It was an extremely intricate and sophisticated building requiring tremendous knowledge and experience and a vast array of skills. So where did the Jews, who for decades prior were slaves in Egypt, master skills such as wood carving, masonry, gem cutting, as well as complex sewing and weaving? These are skills that would normally take people years of training and diligent effort to master. How exactly did they become expert craftsmen in such amount of time? So I once attended a Ner Le'elef Malava Malka. It was a night of workshops and inspiration geared to individuals planning on becoming community leaders, teachers, executives, rabbis, etc. Essentially a get-together of some of the young future leaders of the Jewish people. So the first idea that was discussed came from Rav Malkiel Cutler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Beis Medrash Gavoa in Lakewood, the largest yeshiva in America, the second largest yeshiva in the world. He asked the following question. We all know the story of Yaakov running away from Esav. Yaakov sort of stole the brachos from his brother Esav. Esav wants to kill him. Yaakov runs away. While he's walking, he comes across a well. He's thirsty, he's tired, he gets to the well and he sees a whole bunch of shepherds just sitting around. So Yaakov turns to them and he asks, what are you guys waiting for? So they turn to him and they say, you don't see that 900-pound rock on top of the well? We're waiting for the other shepherds to come so we can all roll off the rock together. Oh, says Yaakov, let me help you. So he rolls up his sleeves and he flicks off the rock like it's a bottle cap. They make a little l'chaim and the story's over, right? We all know the story. So asks Rav Malkiel, what exactly is the Torah telling me with that story? What exactly is the Torah trying to tell us with the story? That Yaakov was a bodybuilder? That Yaakov was secretly lifting weights in his bedroom after Esav went to sleep? The Torah describes in vivid detail how Yaakov mustered up the strength to single-handedly throw off the rock, performing a feat of strength that normally required an entire group of men to accomplish. Okay, what is the Torah trying to tell us with the story? Asked Rav Malkiel. So he explained by pointing out a fundamental difference between the secular physical world and the spiritual one. In the secular world, one only has responsibilities if he has abilities. Meaning, if one finds himself on an airplane and all of a sudden someone has a heart attack, those who know nothing about emergency medicine just sit there. They don't do anything, for there is nothing for them to do. But those that do, on the other hand, those that have some experience in emergency medicine, paramedics, EMTs, Hatzalah guys, nurses, doctors, surgeons, have a sort of unspoken responsibility to get up and help the guy. This is not the case in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, ability does not lead to responsibility. Rather, responsibility leads to ability. I'll say it again. In the spiritual world, ability does not lead to responsibility. Rather, responsibility leads to ability. Thrusting responsibilities on oneself will grant one the spiritual and physical abilities to carry them out, says Rav Malkiel. Yaakov is called by the Torah an Ish Tam Yoshev Oalim. He sat in his tent and he learned. He didn't work out. He did not play football. He wasn't a bodybuilder. He was a bookworm. Out of the group of men that day standing around the well, he was probably the least fit to lift the rock by himself. Yet, He was equipped with the one attribute that the others were not. He knew how to thrust upon himself responsibilities, knowing full well that if sincere, it would bring abilities. Yaakov knew that a Jew doesn't look at a mountain and say, I can't climb it. A Jew looks up at a mountain and says, I must climb it. And then he can. Hashem grants him the ability to do so. As an aside, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out that this idea is expressed explicitly in Tefillas Geshem. Tefillas Geshem is the special prayer we pray for rain on Sukkot. We beseech Hashem in the merit of our forefathers to bring us rain. So when we turn to the merit of Yaakov, we say, Zechor Ta'an Maklo, remember the one Yaakov who carried his staff. Yichad Lev V'gal Evan Mipi Be'er Mayim. He dedicated his heart and rolled a stone off the mouth of a well. What do you mean, Yichad Lev? He dedicated his heart and rolled a stone off the well. He rolled up his sleeves, he flexed his muscles, and he rolled off the stone. That's how he was able to do it. Nah, wrong, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Yaakov was an Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. He wasn't naturally physically strong because and only because he dedicated his heart was he able to move that stone. So the Ramban explains similarly in our Parsha that when these men in the desert heard the intricacies of the Mishkan, they didn't tell themselves they weren't able to. They didn't tell themselves they didn't have the training. They didn't tell themselves they couldn't. They told themselves they must. The burning desire in their hearts to contribute actually gave them the ability to do so. The Torah referred to those people who wound up being the craftsmen of the Mishkan as Nasoi Libo. They were not any more talented than the others in the desert. They were not the great-grandchildren of masters of trade. They didn't run off to some cave in Japan to learn these skills. They were people with hearts on fire, ready to serve Hashem, ready to shoulder the responsibility, ready to step up to the plate. Their instinctive reaction was not, I can't, it was, I must. And therefore, Hashem gave them the ability to do so. So Rav Malkiel continued that when a rabbi or a teacher or a Rosh Hashiva or an executive or a community leader sets forth, he should do so, he should go forth with the attitude of I must and therefore I can. I must do and therefore Hashem will give me the ability to do so. How inspiring for us. How often do we not take upon ourselves that speech, that shir, that class, that chesed, that hosting opportunity, that tier of opportunity, that shiva call, rationalizing to ourselves that we just can't. We don't have the right personality, we tell ourselves. It's not my skill set. It's just not who I am. It's not me, we tell ourselves. These Mishkan builders should inspire us to think a little differently. They should transform us from an I can't person to one who says I must. Out of all the animals in the entire animal world, the lion is referred to as the king of the jungle. Ever wonder why? The lion is not the fastest animal. A cheetah is far faster. The lion isn't the strongest animal. An elephant is far stronger. A lion isn't the fiercest animal. A hyena is far fiercer. The lion isn't the deadliest animal. A Komodo dragon is far deadlier. So then what is it about the lion that makes it the king of the jungle? How did the lion make it to the top of the pack? So there is one trait that makes a lion stand out. There is one trait that the lion possesses that other animals do not. And that is that the lion is 100% fearless. A lion will stand at the edge of a plateau and see its cub that fell below. It will gauge the height and see that it is too deep for it to jump. And do you know what it will do? It will jump anyway. A lion will see food on the top of a mountain and will determine that the mountain is too high to climb. And do you know what it will do? It will climb anyway. A lion will see its mate struggling in a raging river with water too powerful to swim in. You know what it will do? It will swim anyway. A lion will see a predator lurking, determine that it is too strong to fight that predator, and you know what it will do? It will fight anyway. The word Jew or Judaism is a derivative of the word Judah or Yehuda. Yehuda was the father of the kings of Judaism. In the Torah, he is also referred to as a lion. We carry his name because we carry his lion spirit. We carry the ability to be fearless, to negate preconceived notions about our own abilities, to stare fear in the eye and beat it. We have the ability to thrust on our backs responsibilities that did not seem possible. We are called Jews, for we are descendants of spiritual lions. If we remember our namesake, we too can join their roar.